So I honor God, and I certainly honor Pastor Brian and Susan. Are you all grateful for your leaders? Amen. And every other leader. A couple of Sundays ago, I was listening to the service, and Pastor Brian started the service with how much he loved Susan. Y'all remember that? Well, I say ditto to that. It was love at first sight for me too, Pastor Brian. I've been loving her ever since and so grateful for this honor, Pastor Brian. Thank you for your invitation. You know, I'm amazed at God. I'm amazed by God. You know, in August, Pastor Brian started a series, and the question was, who do you trust? Who do you trust? What a powerful question for us to keep as our question, not just one time, not just in a series, but every single day throughout the day. We have decisions to make about who we trust in any given situation or circumstance. So that question was, who do you trust? And the series highlighted that many of us were trusting in ourselves. Can we have some truth telling in this moment? Many of us were trusting in ourselves because, let me tell you, this world has tricked a lot of us into believing that this is our world. We're just letting the rest of y'all live in it. So we're trusting in ourselves, what I can do, what I can be, what I can make, what I can create. This is mine. I'm the boss. All of this language that suggests that we have completely stepped out of the will of God. And we have traded in the things of this world for the kingdom. So who do we trust? And he also said that some trust in our comfort, in our things, in the material things, in my house, in my car, in my job, in those things that make us comfortable. But do you not know that nothing in this world belongs to us? So we can't even settle into a place of comfort. We have to settle into a place of trust. We just had a hurricane. Remember that? And those who may have been trusting in homes and cars and all of those things watched it get washed away, watched it get taken away. So our trust has to be in the Father. And then he said, some are trusting in our money. Some are trusting in the money. There's a TikTok thing. What is it? Tell me. Give me my money. Who said it? Give me my money. Give me my money. They tried to trick me into doing it, and I would not do it. Give me my money, because God is our source. Yes. Only God is our source. He gives us resources, but he is the source. Amen? So who do we trust? And so when I was thinking about trusting in God, and I think as I was preparing this week and yesterday coming into the morning, I woke up with the heart song ringing in my heart. And so I turned it on and it was blasting in the hotel room. And I intended for other people to hear it. And the words were, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. So Susan, Pastor Brian, if the Hampton Inn calls you to say, there was somebody in that room y'all had that woke up everybody, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Listen, people, places, and things will fail us. Let me let that settle in for a moment. People, places, and things will fail us. But he will never fail us. He will never fail us. We have a blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. I love that it says he's been my fourth man in the fire. Time after time, Listen, that means that during those times that I have been walking through the fire, he's been right there with me. And when it felt like it was too hot for me to stay in it, he was right there with me. When I walked through the fire and I couldn't find anyone else who wanted to walk through the fire with me, he was right there with me. I didn't need to go to social media and post about my fire because I knew that he was right there with me. He's been the fourth man in my fire. Time after time after time after time. And listen, I was in the fire and didn't even know he was there. I only recognized that he had been with me when he brought me through the fire and I didn't smell like smoke. And I recognized that he was my fourth man in the fire time after time. And then I love that it says perfect submission. Let's stay there for just a moment. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I've been in this place of just really sitting with what it means to be in a place of submission, in a place of surrender, in a place where we resist the urge to continue doing our own thing. We resist the urge to continue doing things that don't bring God the greatest glory. We resist the urge to do the things of the world, recognizing that yes, we are in this world, but we're certainly not of it. And so we resist the urge and we submit. That means we come under. We come under the authority and power of the Most High God, the one who is sovereign. The one who is omnipotent, the one who is omniscient, the one who is omnipresent. We come under and we surrender. So perfect submission, all is at rest. And I got to tell you, that's my story. There's a song, and I think it was by Gladys Knight and the Pips. And it says, if anyone should ever write my story, for whatever reason there might be, he'll be there between every line of pain and glory, because Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. I know Gladys Knight and the Pips didn't sing it that way, but that's my story. He is the best thing that ever happened to me. Anybody else got that testimony that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to you? I've had some good things happen, but he is the best thing that ever happened to me. He's my best thing. Come on, let that settle into your spirit. He's my best thing. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. So that's why I trust him, because I sought him and he heard me. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and that's why I trust him. So in that August series, it continues to ask us that question, who do we trust? And our answer has got to be, I trust in God, no matter what. Let's add that, hashtag, no matter what. No matter what, because it's easy to trust God when we're on the mountaintop. It's easy to trust God when everything is coming up roses. It's easy to trust God when we are experiencing abundance, when we are experiencing the good things of life. It's easy to trust God, but can we trust him in the valley? When we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, can we trust him there? Yes. When we may not know how our ends are going to meet, can we trust him there? Yes. When our hearts are heavy and overburdened, can we trust him there? Yes. I came to tell you that the same God on the mountain is the same God in the valley. And he is always and forever worthy of our trust. In Psalms 118 and 6 in the Message translation says it this way: God is now at my side, and I am not afraid. I love this part. Who would dare lay a hand on me? Come on now. Who would dare lay a hand on me? Do you know that that means that you can step out of your bed, step into your workplace, step into the grocery store, step into groups with your friends, like you know who you are, because who can dare lay a hand on you? MC Hammer said, I knew y'all knew it. I knew you knew it. I knew you knew it. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Who can dare lay a hand on me? And you know what that does for me? It increases my confidence in the Father. It lets me know that I can be confident in the Father. No matter where I am and what I'm doing, I can be confident in the Father. I can walk in a room and that atmosphere should change. Not because I'm so wonderful, not because I'm conceited or arrogant, but because I have the confidence of the Father. And He called us to step into places and spaces to be light in darkness. He called us to be salt in the earth. And so we need His confidence to be able to do that. We cannot do it in our own strength. But we can do it in the confidence of the Father. So it gives me confidence. And then it gives me no fear of my enemies. I want y'all to know that I went through a period of my life fearing my enemies. Fearing my enemies. Hiding from them. Afraid of what they may do to me. Afraid of what they may say about me. Fearing my enemies. But what did Psalms 118 and 6 say? Who would dare lay a hand on me? So you know what that means? You'll get in trouble with God for touching me. Amen? Who can dare lay a hand on me? So no fear of enemies. And then it gives us strength against adversity. Strength against adversity. And so in the last three Sundays, Pastor Brian has shared how we can be secure in God. So as we think about trusting God and knowing that He's the one we can trust, he also talked about being secure in God. So he talked about how we can be secure in God's creative power. How we could be secure in God's loving nature, and how we could be secure in God's sustaining strength. And today, I want to talk with you about how we can be secure in God's enduring faithfulness. In God's enduring faithfulness. So please go with me to Exodus 16, 1 through 12. We're going to look at that in the New Living Translation. That's Exodus 16, verses 1 through 12. Can you stand for the reading of the word? Just please stand. It's pretty lengthy, so you might be standing for a while, but it's okay. We stand for a lot of other things, don't we? So we can stand for the reading of the word. And it says, then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin. Now, that doesn't mean sin as we know sin. It means the region. Journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month. 1 month. Everybody say 1 month. 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. Where were they coming from? 1 month later. Here they are. And it says, there too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. So when it says there too, that means they have been complaining before. And that means, and here they are now, and they're complaining again. So there too, they're back at complaining, and they're complaining about Moses and Aaron. And they said, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. They moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day, the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, they will have twice as much as usual. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening, you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your complaints, which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all of your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites complain. Now tell them, in the evening, you will have meat to eat, and in the morning, you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Amen. 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 So what struck me most about Exodus 16 is that God kept hearing their complaints, yet he continued to be faithful. God kept hearing their complaints and continued to be faithful. So how many times does he hear our complaints? Let's tell the truth. How many times does he hear our complaints and he still chooses to show us his enduring faithfulness? He still chooses. He does not have to, but he still chooses to show us his enduring faithfulness. When we are ungrateful, he still chooses to show us his enduring faithfulness. When we don't even see it, he still chooses to show us his enduring faithfulness. When we don't feel it, he still chooses to show us his enduring faithfulness. And listen, when life doesn't go as we thought it should go, God still chooses to show us his enduring faithfulness. When the report we thought we wanted is not the report we got, God is still choosing to show us his enduring faithfulness when others turn their back on us and walk away. God still chooses to show us his enduring faithfulness when our backs are up against the wall. God still chooses to show us his enduring faithfulness when we don't know where we're going to turn. God still chooses to show us his enduring faithfulness. And enduring means continuing and does not end. Say that. Enduring, continuing, and does not end. So there is never a time that he is not going to show us his enduring faithfulness. It does not end. It never ceases. It's continuing. And then his faithfulness. Faithfulness means steadfast in his affection and allegiance. He is steadfast in his affection and allegiance toward us. He is firm in his promises. He's strong in his assurance. He's true to facts. And lasting loyalty and trustworthiness. That's what faithfulness is. And so when we put that together, look at what we have when we consider God's enduring faithfulness. No matter what, we can trust God in his enduring faithfulness. In 1923, Thomas O'Chisholm wrote the lyrics to this hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness. And the lyrics say, "Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassion, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou shalt ever will be." And then it says, "Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided." Yes. Can I say that again? All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Yes. It didn't say all I have wanted. Okay. It says all I have needed, thy hand has provided. Yes. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I'm so grateful to know that there is not a need I have that he's not able to provide. What I've learned to do is ask God, "God, please give me what to want." You know, we like to quote the scripture, "God will give you the desires of your heart." First of all, it says, if we seek him, if we trust him, he will give us the desires of our heart. And what that means is that he would give us what to want. He will give us what to want. So our prayer should become, "Father, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me so that I can want what you want. So I can desire what you desire for me." So that he gives me everything I need. I look back over the course of my life and I recognize that the things that I thought I needed the most were not the things that I needed the most. The things that I wanted the most were not the things I needed the most. And so I'm so grateful to the Father for his enduring faithfulness. So when we look at Exodus 16, I want you to see four characteristics of God's enduring faithfulness. So if you're taking notes, take these four characteristics of God's enduring faithfulness. Number one, God's enduring faithfulness shows up in his provisions. In his provision. In his provision. God is faithful in his provisions. Have you all ever been in that place that they call between a rock and a hard place? Anybody? You ever been there? Between a rock and a hard place, not knowing how you were going to get out from between the rock and the hard place. And somehow, God provided. God provided. I'm asking you, have you ever had a miracle? Have you ever had a miracle? Have you ever experienced God's supernatural favor where he provided and you knew no person, place, or thing could have done what he did? He manifested in a way that proved His faithfulness in his provisions. So Exodus 16, 13 through 15 says, that evening, vast numbers of quail. Now remember what God said to them. So that evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frosted flakes, y'all. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. Let me say this. God provides for us in ways sometimes we can't even comprehend. We can't even understand it. We don't even know what to call it. All we know is that it's something. That he did a thing. Even when we don't know what to call it. We don't understand it. But God did a thing. That's God providing for us. Because he is faithful to provide. So Matthew 6, 31 through 33 says, so don't worry about these things. Saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things often dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Look at the person next to you and say, he knows what I need. I mean, say it like you mean it, though. He knows what I need. He knows what I need. So, don't let these things dominate our thoughts. But our Heavenly Father already knows what we need. So seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I saw a little boy. I don't know who sings this song, but I saw a little boy singing it. And y'all may know the original artist, but it says, don't you worry about a thing, because every little thing is gonna be all right. Have y'all ever heard that? That ought to be our heart song. I'm not worrying about a thing, because every little thing, y'all got it, because he provides what we need. And so that's a characteristic of the Father. He is faithful in his provisions. Number two, he is faithful in his promises. He is faithful in his promises. Exodus 16, 21 says, after this, the people gathered the food when? Morning by morning. Morning by morning, each family according to its own need, because God promised. So when Hurricane Helene came through Georgia, it was devastating to many people. And I know it kept moving and went up to North Carolina, but because I live in Georgia, I was able to see it firsthand. And it was devastating to people. People lost, including us, we lost electricity. We lost, some people lost water. But I drove through the city. Some people didn't have trees on their houses. They had trees in their houses. Cars had trees on top. Power lines were just across the road in various places. People literally had to hang t-shirts on the power lines so that people could see that power lines were down. And then in the aftermath, I had an opportunity to serve at one of the communities there. They had received a grant for $1.5 million. And another organization matched that grant for $1.5 million. And so they had a wealth of resources come in for families, for about 2 weeks afterwards. They would open up a line and people could literally drive through the line, and there were stations where we were putting things in their cars at various stations. And there were over 500 cars a day, every day. And many of those cars had multiple families in them represented. And this is what I loved so much. The station where I was serving at the diaper station. So we had diapers and wipes and formula and all of the things for babies. And what I loved so much, as people drove around in that line and we were putting those diapers in the car and the wipes and the formula, I looked in the faces of people who were just weeping. They were just weeping. In one woman's car, we literally had to make room in her car because it was now where she was living. And so sometimes I think about God's promises. And even in that adverse situation, here was a line of people where God was providing. Because he promised. He was providing. Can we thank God? Because he promised. He was providing. And it was an adverse situation, but he was still providing. He was still meeting needs because he promised. And I want us to make a declaration of assurance in one particular thing, and that is that we've got the promises of God hovering over our lives, and he is faithful to fulfill his promises. He is faithful to fulfill his promises. So the next time you feel discouraged, the next time you feel down, the next time you're experiencing lack, the next time you are experiencing or you're somewhere where you never thought you would be, I want you to remember to do this. Go ahead and practice. You don't have to open your mouth. As my grandma used to say, you don't have to part your lips. But you can just do this as a reminder. His promises are hovering over my life. His promises are hovering over my life. God is faithful to his promises. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are still yes in Christ." And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. His promises are yes and amen. Amen? Number three, God is enduring in his faithfulness in his prosperity. In his prosperity. Exodus 16:29 says, "They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That is why he gives you a two-day supply." A two-day supply. Can somebody say more than enough? That's why he gives us a two-day supply on the sixth day. So there will be enough for 2 days. Enough for 2 days, more than enough. Do you know it is God's desire to prosper us? And that doesn't just mean, sometimes we hear prosperity and we think about, what is it? Who says show me the money? I love it. Show me the money. But we think about money. But he's faithful to prosper us. He's faithful to prosper us in ways far exceeding money. Do you know when you woke up this morning, you were waking up in prosperity? You know how I know that? Because you were able to. That means I'm wealthy. With every breath I take, I'm wealthy. God is prospering me. The scripture says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. And so he's faithful to prosper us. He's faithful in his prosperity. Jeremiah 29:11 says it this way, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to do what? Prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. He has plans to prosper us. And then number four, he is enduring in his faithfulness to preserve. He is faithful to preserve. You know what that means? He's a keeper. He is a keeper. Exodus 16:32 says, then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Fill a 2-quart container with manna to preserve it for your descendants. Then later generations will be able to see the food I gave you in the wilderness when I set you free from Egypt. Moses said to Aaron, get a jar and fill it with 2 quarts of manna, then put it in a sacred place before the Lord to preserve it for all generations. What God gives, he preserves. What God gives us, he preserves. And as I said, he is a keeper. Think about the times God has kept you. I want you to really think about the times God has kept you. Think about the times you could have lost your mind, but he kept you. Think about the times when it felt like all hell had broken loose in your life, but he still did what? He kept you. He is a keeper. Think about the times where you could have died and gone straight to hell because we weren't living in the way that he had commanded us to live. We were living in our own way. We were doing our own thing. But he kept us. Sometimes when I look back over my life, my praise is, God, thank you for keeping me. Thank you for keeping me. I could have been dead doing the things I was doing, but he kept me. I saw people around me doing the same things that I was doing, and they're no longer here, but he kept me. He has kept me through danger. He has kept me through pain. I pass accidents on the highway sometimes, and my prayer is, God, that could have been me. Thank you for keeping me. I don't even complain in traffic anymore because I recognize that in the sovereignty of God, he could have been keeping me from something that I don't even know about. In the work that I get to do, I get to fly to other places across the country. And I remember early on, I would just kind of be all anxious if my flight was delayed. If my flight was delayed. But listen, now when I travel, if my flight is delayed, I want to do a praise dance in the airport. Because I recognize he is keeping me. That he is keeping me. And oftentimes, let me say this, I have been delayed, and by the time they put me on another flight, or if the flight was canceled or whatever, I'll get a notification on my phone, you have been upgraded to first class. So don't be out here complaining about delays. It may be God upgrading you. So just be patient in the delay, because he's a keeper. And lastly, I want to share this with you. Isaiah 26:3, and I want you to stand here as we close. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Amen? Amen. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And I want to ask Pastor Brian to come, and as we pray, this is the prayer for the morning. God, keep my mind steadfast. I do have a heart to trust in you, but oftentimes the enemy will bombard our minds and give us reasons not to trust. We'll be experiencing fear that moves us out of that place of trust. We'll start to experience doubt that moves us out of that place of trust. But I want us today to commit to asking God to have a steadfast mind. To have a steadfast mind. If that's you, and you really want God to give you a steadfast mind, I want you to come to this altar.